Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back to Babysitting Trevor.
Final episode of season two.
Season two, episode six. The remix.
Carl Donnelly on my right.
Chris Martin on my left.
Chris Martin.
I don't know why I didn't know. Jokers. We were doing a thing.
Yeah, I was, they went into Reservoir Dogs song.
Let's give a quick disclaimer. So, episode six, the original file, turns out Trev's audio track was corrupted. I think...
I don't want to blame
Soros or something. One of the conspiracy lot got in there and took Trev's voice out of it.
Yeah, I mean, producer Joel has been nothing but exemplary.
He tried his best recover it, but it just wouldn't happen.
It wouldn't happen.
So we're going to re-record, but we're not going to re-record the same episode. So I don't want to. You can't magic. We can, technically, but I mean...
That's literally what magic is repeating something for ages till it gets really good.
The moment magic.
Yeah, you can't replicate that.
So we're just going to just talk through the things, some of the tasks we did for episode
six. Just to give a disclaimer as well, I took a Xanax for the first time.
You've just got back from LA. This is why we had to delay the re-record a couple of weeks, because you've been in... In Hollywood,
in the airport, I got drunk with an Irish guy, which couldn't
what
be
his
more.
Name?
His name was. He said his name was Ryan at first, and then at the end he went, "My name's actually Danaher because it's too difficult to spell for most people." And I went, "Is it Donnacah?" And he went, "It is." I'm like, "I know Danaher."
Yeah.
And then, like you said, doesn't matter about spelling when you're talking to someone.
Exactly, yeah.
But we'd had about 5 pints. And then during this, we ended up befriending two ladies, one of which gave me a quarter of a Xanax, which I never had. And I had it last night when I got back to the UK. And I've woken up feeling like I'm in a dream.
A quarter as well, not even a full
Xanax.
But
I've never done it before, so... And I'm a lightweight.
I know, but...
But anyway, yeah, so apologies if I sound a bit like all over the shop, but... That might, you know, maybe it's going to help recreate that magic.
Exactly. Recreate magic. Just take some prescription drugs and then change it up a bit.
Yeah, exactly. So we did a karate lesson.
Yes, we did.
Led by Trev, which was really fun. And Trev wrote a song for us for the finish out the season.
Yeah. And I mean, I remember we recorded it a couple of months back, but it was great fun. So I'm sure this time when we just chat again, it'll be great fun.
What's not to like?
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Cheers, guys.
Trev, welcome.
Hello, how are you? I'm still here, still taking up space on the planet.
We're all taking up space on the planet, Trev. Don't be hard on yourself.
You're taking up more space because you were talking just before the record about how much you've bulked up.
I've bulked up, actually. I'm enormous. I feel big. I feel massive. I look in the mirror again. Look at that. I'm massive.
But what difference are we talking? Because only when you said it did I think you do look a bit broader.
Yeah, it's the shoulders and chest have really come out. I think I've been doing heavy weights. That's all that it is.
Yeah.
And I've grown correspondingly to the increase in poundage.
You seen Pilger down your gym again?
I did, actually. I had a bit of a chat with him on the stairs.
Did he have his bollocks out again?
No. Before he changed, actually. I think he's got his new shorts with him. bollock proof.
They've got a double net, a double testy net.
No, but he's quite friendly because Trevor, and then he shook my hand, held it.
You've cracked that nut.
Yeah.
Is it because you're bigger now? Maybe he respects you more.
No. I think he just realised that I'm his only friend in the gym because he keeps to himself. I'm the only bloke that talks to him.
Do you reckon other people know who he is, though?
Eh?
Do other people know
who
he is?
Mr. Weirdo, he's his bollocks out all the time.
Not so much, actually.
I might imagine, yeah, a bunch of, like, 25-year-old steroid heads.
Yeah, yeah. I can't be fucking really famous. Yeah,
a left-wing documentary maker.
He's a very, very leftist. I mean, actually, so am I, in a way. I'm old-fashioned Labour, really. So we just talked about the media being fucked, and his exact words, actually, how fucked it was. And then we basically agreed that, you know, the leftist ideology out of a very bad bunch is probably the best one, the fairest.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course humane, it is. It's the nicest one.
This is the nicest one.
And then he sort of gave me a wave going up the stairs. He'd give me a bit of a wave. Oh, and right. Fucking, me and John fucking like that.
You're
going to
be spotting each other soon.
Yeah, that's right.
What does he do? Does he do weights?
He does weights. He trains very hard, actually. He
looks
lied
good,
about
because when I went with you, I saw him. He looks great for his age.
He does. He what lied about his He's 76.
I still don't know who John Pettigrew is.
But he did lie about his age.
What do you mean?
Because I said, I give him my age, and then I said, how old are you?
Did you actually give him your real age?
You give us your fake age.
I give you fake age.
Why does Pilger get the real age?
If I get a nut out right now,
he's not in my general circle
age?
Of friends. You'll spread rumours about me and Trevor's fucking old. And
he might put it in a fucking documentary.
He might, yeah.
He's got more reach than we have.
Ancient comedian. Yeah, Trevor Crook. He said he was 67, but I already checked on fucking Wikipedia that he was actually 77.
I just need a switcheroo there. Yeah.
Well, that's a sign of Alzheimer's, actually, that you lie about your age. So I hope that hasn't kicked in.
Loads of people in LA have Alzheimer's. Loads of young actors.
It's really rife among actors and actresses.
Actors and models. But
I just sort of nodded and smiled. I think he sensed that I didn't believe him.
Yeah.
Did he rub your chin?
But he does train really hard. I mean, I was watching him train. Really puts in. I was impressed. Inspired me.
He's got a good bod for his age. He's tall, athletic.
Well, yeah. And you look at Pilger, and you can go, let's say, to the sports club in Bankstown. People of Pilger's age are just sitting there in front of a poker machine dribbling into a schooner glass. Disgraceful. But he's like an inspiration, I think. He's intellectually weathered. He's trained hard.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to say, when I was away, obviously I've been trying to just keep in touch with you guys via the internet. Mm. And then Carl said, this is non-babysitting Trevor task-based. He just went to the gym with you.
That's
again.
Right. Yes, he did.
Yeah, I just went to the day at the gym.
Improved, Trev?
Oh, yeah, I mean, Carl's got, he's quite determined, and he listens, and he sort of soaks in the knowledge that I impart. I'm sort of the guru, I suppose, in that sense. And he listens, and he tries really hard.
He's a backhanded compliment.
You get a certificate for trying your best, Carl.
I know, but that last time we went, it was only, a month or two ago, I've never been in more pain post gym.
Yeah,
like for 2-3 days I couldn't lift my arms.
Well, I actually picked the exercise that I thought would really fuck you up.
I thought really well.
I've got to make you respect the weights. You know what I mean? You only respect the weights when you've suffered.
I had respect for them, mate.
Respect the weights, Carl.
So every time when you were doing those curls, I was just going, you'll be fucked.
Oh, that was way. It. Was yeah, so much pain.
Did you have buys?
We did the lot, mate. What did we do?
We definitely did curls. We did bench press.
Yeah. What about lower body?
We did a little bit of leg. I showed you lower body. We didn't do legs, but I showed Carl the leg press and leg extension. You haven't done those yet, have you?
No, we did. Yeah, we did a little bit. You showed me technique.
Yeah, that's
which
right.
Which was good to learn. But I've not actually been.
I was just saying, maybe you haven't emailed me as much as normal.
No, that's right.
Maybe you've been too busy.
I've got a bit closer to Carl.
So yeah, okay.
You're away
then.
He's hobnobbing with the fucking stars. And you didn't mention me in your Instagram for a long time.
Trev does check in on all your socials. He does stalk most.
Because I like to see me in, mentioned it occasionally.
Yeah.
Been fairly sparse, hasn't it?
Well, it's not been sparse. I think you get the odd people, the odd reviews on the old iTunes.
Yeah, I thought, fuck, I've created enemies or something. Like, no, this fucking paranoia, no one likes me.
Well, this is what we're worried about, is you were telling me that you've been getting into, you've been Facebooking too much, because I was going to say, end of season two, we want to know, like, how's the anxiety improved generally?
Yeah, I was going all right, then I got on Facebook, and because if you go on Facebook, if you go on a particular Facebook page, it's all groupthink, so everyone agrees with one another. Whereas I get bored, I just go in there and create fucking mayhem. I go, well, this is what I actually believe what I think.
But why do you go in there to create mayhem? What's the thinking behind it?
I think I'm just fucking bored. I want to challenge, is it the status quo? I want to challenge on some issues that I disagree with. So I went onto these fairly, I suppose you'd call them liberal sites, and where everyone's agreeing with one another, and I put my 2 cents worth in, and people, I got insulted and abused, and it didn't, my mental health no good.
Yeah, well, do you not think, this is my opinion of internet opinions, is no one ever changes their mind. Now, do you mean, in a way, maybe it's why I don't know, because I'm quite easy to, if someone puts a good argument with confidence, I'm like, yeah, but most people on the internet, you just go, most people, blah, 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 no one ever goes, do you know what?
Do you know what? Big Boy 74 has got a good point hasn't he?
I've been wrong all these years after Darby Terry tells me that. And the angry guy who's got a photo of just his kids as his profile.
Yeah, but there's a lack of tolerance. So in the old days, I told Carl back in the 80s, we used to have really passionate debates about everything.
But you've got to have them in person.
Yeah, that's right.
Because the internet has ultimately ruin the ability to have proper arguments, because you can't fully debate something if you're not looking in someone's eyes.
Yeah, that's right.
Because then you actually do take on what each other says. And
there's also, in the course of a debate, there's a few laughs, there's a smile, there's having a drink, would you like a cup of tea? And there's all these things that...
Things you ever had debates with Irish mums? That's
things that soften the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And when you go online, people don't know you, that there's no nuances in any of it. It's like blatant upfront in your face. And I'm reasonably tolerant. I never get, even on Facebook, I never get personal. I don't call people idiots or anything. I keep to the subject matter.
Yeah.
But other people don't. I suppose I'm experienced, and I'm reasonably informed about rules of debate, where you don't get fucking personal. You just say, this is my opinion, and they say theirs. Yeah. But some people aren't like that. They're totally emotional. They're dysfunctional, and they call you all the cunts under the sun.
The cunts under the sun. That's not a phrase, but it is there. All the cunts.
What a lovely phrase.
Yeah, that's right.
All those cunts under the sun.
And then it gets nasty. Not for me. I never get real nasty. I can be a bit irritating because I'm quite opinionated. So,
really?
I'm quite outspoken, so that irritates people. But I'm generally not a bad bloke. It's just, but for my opinions, if you take all the nuances out of it, I come across as a bit.
Yeah, but this is a testament to why we need to up the activities. If you're getting bored enough that you have to go on and annoy people online.
But I'm off it now. I haven't been on Facebook making a comment for 6 weeks.
Oh, right.
It's pretty good. That's good for you.
Six weeks clean.
One indication of your anxiety is often your dreaming.
I had a very dark, a bizarre dream. Al Pacino was in it, and my ex-wife.
Right, so. That's a recipe for the
good cast already.
Did she make Al Pacino walk miles to get some milk? You gotta be killing me! You want full fat?
She hit him in the face with a slipper, I think, and so just kicked off. But no, they're having they were like talking, and then I noticed my ex-wife was sitting in a coffin.
Ooh. Sitting upright.
Upright position, sitting up.
Creepy. Creepy.
And then suddenly, what happens is she lies down on the coffin, and then Al Pacino jumped in with her, and pulled the lid down.
Move over! I'm coming in! There's only one way to spoon in here! You fucking fuck! Fuck!
Yeah, I pulled that. I woke up.
You've got a great ass!
So I thought that was a very bizarre dream.
And that's it. So once he's in, door shut.
Yeah, that
door,
would be the end of the dream.
Lid. It's not a door, is it?
Yeah, that's right. you have a door in that coffin just in case they want to leave.
And that was
It'd be funny if it ended with you just slowly pushing it into the furnace at a crematorium. Right. Just get rid of both of them.
Right. So I always think, oh, fuck, that means Al Pacino's going to die or my ex-wife. And I'm fond of them both.
And they were both alive at the time as well.
Yeah, both alive at the time.
I had a chronic fear when I was young of being buried alive.
With Al Pacino.
Yeah.
Come on, kid! There's enough air in here! Get your straws ready!
It used to be a recurring nightmare, constant thought in my head when I was probably from about the age of five to about, I'd say maybe 10. Yeah, I had a proper fear of being buried alive.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
I think that's quite a common fear.
I panic if I get a jumper halfway over my head and it won't come off, and I'm trapped under my jumper. I have a panic attack. Yeah. Fucking frantically trying to get it off.
As I've got older, I've realised if you get buried alive, the one positive then is you're not dead.
It's better
than being dead, isn't it?
You get buried alive, but you mean buried alive and then probably dying at the end of it, though.
You'll probably die at some point, but you'll be alive for
a while. In a way, most convenient way for your family to deal with your body after. We've already made the arrangement.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He's in the ground.
Yep, no, you're dead.
Just get a gravestone. That's all you've got to do now.
I used to really fear it.
I used to test my claustrophobia. I used to stick my head in. I'd fill the bathroom sink full of water and just stick my head in. Just to see what it was like. It's very claustrophobic underwater.
Yeah, of course.
So I thought, and I'll see if I can actually put up with the claustrophobia, see if I can challenge it. But I never could. I'd go under and go,
imagine walking in on someone. Yeah. Communal. Trev's washing his face again in a very terrifying way.
I'd put my head under the sheets, which I fucking hated as well. I'd just pull them out. What's it like, you know, being buried alive? So I'd pull the sheets.
How old were you when you do this?
All through my teenage life, really.
Right.
Every year you do a MOT check.
I did it regularly from 9. Even now, I still do it occasionally. I wonder what it's like to be buried alive. Ooh, fuck. No,
did you know, so when you sleep, you have to have covers below the neck?
Yeah. If I feel restrained, sometimes I'm with Julie in bed and I've rolled over, and then it's getting very affectionate, but she puts her arm across this way, like it's a bit of a judo hold.
Yeah.
When she throws her arm.
That's an interesting way to describe it.
So I'm in this fucking passionate judo hold. But then I start to feel uncomfortable, and I go, fucking trapped. Yeah. I've got to fucking throw her arm off and lie on the back. Yeah, that's right.
Really?
We've got a king-size double bed in America, me and Hannah, and I cannot recommend it enough, mate. You don't even know there's another person
in
the bed.
Do you not sometimes wake up like and they're too far away?
Nah.
Mm. Really?
No,
what about
fine.
The morning when you've got to...
Go for snuggles.
Yeah, you've got to crawl across the
Do you snuggle at all? Are you affectionate when you go to sleep at night?
We are, but we both have a similar attitude, which is it's in no way comfortable having another human body on you when you're trying to sleep.
But right up until the moment of sleeping, it's nice to be.
Yeah, it's nice
in
to be.
In cahoots.
But then we just like roll over and we've
Do you kiss each other goodnight?
Most of the time.
Okay, that's very sweet.
You managed to make that sound creepy.
I thought if I die in the night, which I may well at my fucking age, I've got to say to Julie I love her and give her a bit of a...
Just in case you die?
Yeah, in case you die in the night.
I just do it just because I think it's nice.
Weirdo.
I just say if you woke up and I was like lying on top of the bed with my eyes open but I was actually dead, it'd be a rude awakening, wouldn't it?
Do you ever test her out by pretending you're dead?
I pretended to have a stroke once. When she'd come in, I pretended that I'd had a stroke. So she came in a lounge room and I let my side of my face go down. Yeah. And I was just lying there. Like,
what was her response?
Oh, she screamed like, fuck it. Yeah.
How long did you keep
She said, don't do that. And then Daniel Townsend, brother, my friend, the comedian, he said, what's that? And then she said, pretending to have a stroke.
Like it's a regular
I was doing a stroke.
Oh, he's getting old stroke bit.
Yeah, no, what I was going to do, like, when she comes in, sometimes I'm going to, like, I thought I should lie in the kitchen floor, like I've collapsed.
Yeah.
And, I'm just, like, emotionless on the kitchen floor so she thinks I'm dead. Just for a laugh.
Yeah, we all do that. Yeah. But apart from the stroke bit's a bit different.
So, anyway, it gets a bit fucking cruel, doesn't it?
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
A karate lesson, well, one lesson might make them Bruce Lees, but actually they won't be good enough to wear Bruce Lee's underpants, but you've got to start somewhere.
Right, so our task for this episode, Trevor Crook, that's what I called you both names there, was you gave us a karate lesson in Carl's back garden.
Yeah, that's right.
And
yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
It was actually, I think this is the thing from when we this was obviously, we did it, when was it? A couple of months ago.
Yes.
And I think the thing that really caught us off guard was how good a teacher you are.
Yeah, because I've got OCD, I'm very meticulous. And when I learn something, I go, I want to know everything. I used to drive my karate instructor insane.
Yeah.
Because I'd want to know everything. Why is your thumb there? And eventually, he's quite, Sugimoto, his name was, a Japanese. Trained with the Japanese. And same sensei, why do you pull your thumb back like that? He says, Trevor, you ask so many questions. But he said it with a broken fucking, I can't speak broken Japanese, but Trevor, you ask so many questions. Why?
That's
not broken Japanese, that's broken English.
Yeah, that's right.
Broken Japanese would have been more bizarre.
Yeah. I said, sensei, one day if I want to teach martial art, I've got to know everything, because a beginner might come up and ask me the question, just ask you. If I don't know the answer, I lose credibility as a teacher.
Yeah.
He went, oh, okay.
Have you ever done Tai Chi?
Yeah, I did a little bit, yeah.
How was that? I'm interested in that.
It's a bit too, it's not dynamic enough. It's nice, slow, relaxed stuff, yeah. But it won't get you fit.
It's not for fitness, I'm talking about for the
Yeah, there's some aspects of that are good.
Yeah.
But I prefer something a bit dynamic.
You're going to be one of those people doing it in the park.
Absolutely.
When
I'm old.
When you go past the park. So it's a weird bit of like Auckland I've been, where you always see like these 70 to 80 year old Asian women just doing Tai Chi, like,
oh, yeah, it's great.
On the high road.
Yeah.
So there's like nowhere else to do it. It's like a weird place to do it.
Yeah. And then I don't know whether I taught you how to ki. I don't know whether you
I can't remember. The ki is the noise, right? You have to make
noise,
a noise.
It's a shout. It's a shout.
So yours was
ape.
It's ape.
Ape. When you shout,
everyone got distinctive
ki. Rings a bell, yeah.
But everyone's got a distinctive fucking ki.
Ape.
And everyone's got a distinctive one.
Ape.
Mine was
ape.
It really comes out.
It really does come out.
Just from the
so when you're doing this, I mean, when you hit strike someone, you go ape.
Yeah, that's right. It's basic to either psych yourself in if you're scared, or to startle your opponent.
Oh, that would startle.
Absolutely startle.
And then you've also, it may help with power. That sort of idea. Yeah.
Ape. It's fun to do. Yeah.
Initially, there was like I read a story. It's called Weaponless Warriors. It's actually a book of martial arts stories. And there was a bloke there who was like the master of the ki. Maybe he was the first one to ever fucking come up with the idea. So he'd been practicing the ki, and he wanted to test the power of it, whether it was any good. So he went up to a bird cage, and there was a canary in it, and he shouted. And the fucking thing dropped dead.
That's not true.
The power
what
of the
was ki. What did he say?
I don't know, because it was written. I don't know what it sounded like, but it must have been quite fucking ferocious.
That can't be true.
I don't know. Fucking, I reckon it was in a book. It didn't work in chickens. They're a bit too robust. But
it was like, what's the biggest animal I couldn't make from shouting it? But a canary die. The same animal that can go down a mine shaft and tell you it's okay.
No, they die. If they die, it means it's...
Oh, yeah.
It's toxic.
Are you sure there isn't in the end of a mine shaft? There's an old Asian guy go, ape,
ape, ape, ape. But as I said, when I did my karate class, it was like everyone had different ki. So there was me, mine was ape.
Yeah.
Like the ape. There was another one, the goose bloke.
The goose. But that's not going to startle anyone.
Yeah, that's right.
If anything, it's going to attract more birds.
Sounds like, a train giving you a warning.
But we called him the goose, and there was another bloke. The best one was, his name was Derek Martin. His was... the back of his throat,
Derek Martin.
He sounds like such a sensei. Yeah. Derek Martin. Yeah.
And then there was a Tony AA, which was...
AA.
So go through them. You had ape.
Ape.
Ah.
Keep going. That one is good. I like that one. That is a shit. That's a shit.
That's a shit. Like if you're coming to a busy night, they're all when we're training, it's like a fucking zoo.
Yeah.
Like, Absolutely fucking hilarious. But I remember one night he was, that Peter fella, he was sparring and he got hit halfway through his key. I guess he got punched in the throat.
Yeah.
Because he was going, and then he got hit in the throat. And he went,
leave the vocal cords mid key, guys.
It was quite brutal, actually. We used to kick each other around. I mean, no, you weren't supposed to punch to the head, but we always did.
Of course you did. Yeah.
Why not, mate?
We used to knock each other around. It was quite fucking brutal, especially the body.
Who was the guy you told us about when you gave us the lesson? You said there was a dude who, like a the bouncer.
Catter, the catter. He managed to, because basically, I remember watching it, and people can probably watch them online. It's like, so you go through a series of moves.
Yeah, that's
but obviously it's sort of ceremonial.
Yes.
But yeah, I said, but will this ever actually come in handy?
Yeah, well, we taught this bloke the spinning elbow techniques, where you take four or five elbow techniques, maybe six, and you whirl around like a fucking dervish.
Yeah.
You've got elbows coming out this way and that way. And then this bloke, that's all he did.
Yeah.
Every time we saw him, he'd be in the fucking corner doing this.
What, just like an hour just doing an elbow?
You just elbows. He'd fucking absolutely obsessed.
He loved elbows.
He was totally obsessed with them anyway. And he had this, he looked great after being doing it a while. He'd just do it like fucking clockwork. Elbows fucking left, right, everywhere, you know. Anyway, I got into a fight one night in the fucking St. Clair Youth Centre with the bouncers, about six of these idiots, cleaned them all up. They came at him to throw him out because he was making a cunt of himself. Don't know what he was doing, but they went to throw him out. He just broke into his routine. Fucking bouncers flying everywhere.
So they all just luckily walked into his elbows at the right or the wrong time.
Well, that's right. And the timing was so good, he just hit them like sweet. You know what I mean? Like a sweet hit. And they all fucking crumpled and went down.
Did he ever?
I don't know. He did actually. I can't remember what it was, but didn't really need it.
Elbow! 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 Elbow!
Yeah, Jamaican accent.
Elbow, man! That's great. And then you, me and Carl, you gave us a couple of, obviously, like little run throughs.
Yeah, that's right.
Who
did
you think was kind of the best?
I think Carl had. You had quite high kicks, but there's no power in them because you lent your body.
I'm all about technique.
Yeah, I know.
Rather than power, guys.
Yeah, that's right. It's got to be effective.
I'm a straight-up killer, mate. Murderer.
I thought Carl had the better upper body stuff. He was doing his elbows, right? And you had more flexibility in the kicks. But I can tell straight away if you're doing a kick and when it's got no power because they lean too far away.
I'm more of a Jean-Claude Van Damme fan. Sylvester Stallone guy.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Because of my strong legs and
But after one lesson, I thought you picked it up reasonably well. But yeah, to be any good, it takes fucking years, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I didn't think we'd have nailed the
in
whole
my back garden in an hour.
I used to train 7 days a week, 2 to 5 hours a day. I do a lot of training on my own. Like, I love the isolation. I like the spiritual dimension of being on your own. And then it's you and it's the mind versus the body. Your body wants to give up because your body's suffering. And then your mind pushes you through.
Yeah,
I like that challenge, and then you feel greater. And I just love the meditative. No music on, none of that shit. Just either down the beach or in my bedroom, total quiet, and it was like a little temple.
We did suggest, though, because you really enjoyed teaching us, of saying, surely either a group of listeners or a group of comedians, Trevor gives, that'd be quite, would you enjoy giving a lesson?
Yeah, not too many people. You can't personalise it. If you've got a class of 40, you can't.
No, what's your maximum then?
Six.
All right.
Okay, that's fine.
Maybe we should see if anyone wants to, any listeners want to put their names in for an hour's, would you, for free? You give it
I'd give it free.
Would you have your own type of karate? Is there a name you'd give it? What's the sort of...
Oh, well, they got different types. You've got Bruce Lee had Jeet Kune Do.
Yeah.
There's obviously Taekwondo. No Can Do.
Trevcon.
Jaff Trev K.
No Can Do is very difficult. But
What would yours be named?
I think.
Trev. Trev Kwando.
Trev Kwando.
Kwando. I like that. Yeah. A little Trev Kwando lesson. Yeah. So get in touch at Babysitting Trev or at Babysitting Trevor on various forms of
social media.
Women are okay. Sign up. They want to.
They can.
Yeah, can they? Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Isn't it? Yeah. 2017. Yeah. Bit of didn't you give Julia a lesson once?
Yeah, I give her a lesson. I mean, Julia's so a gentle person. You know what I mean? Like, some people are fighters, some people are sort of lovers. I'm sort of in between. I'm not particularly violent, but then again, I'm not a fucking pussy either. Sort of in between. So you have to be, you know, I assert my masculinity when I have to, but I'm not an overtly macho.
Yeah.
I think you have to be a fucking man. So I taught Julia, who's a very gentle soul, and I said, I'll show you the power of a palm heel strike. So I said, put the pillow on. She put the pillow on her chest. Badly.
Put the pillow on your chest.
I put the pillow on her chest. And she didn't brace herself. If I'm
doing I love it. It's her fault. It's her fault. Did brace yourself, you idiot.
You're supposed to brace yourself so you can
Did you tell her? Did you say to her, brace yourself?
I did, but you don't have to know how to do it.
Did you say brace yourself? And she's like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah. So I'm thinking she's braced. Okay, so I go fucking... I give her a double palm heel on the chest. And she goes flying over. I think it was the bed we had out at the moment. She goes flying, like a fucking rollback, fucking like a somersault thing over the fucking bed. Goes right over the bed, hits the fucking deck on the other side of the bed, burst into tears, flooding tears.
Yeah,
I mean, just
right,
fucking. So obviously, I feel like bad, you know what I mean?
Yeah, good. Well, you then just go, you go, you should have fucking braced yourself.
Yeah, sure. No, I didn't mention the obvious thing, she should have braced herself. Yeah. I thought,
oh my word.
But I went, oh darling, I'm sorry. And I thought, oh fuck, you know.
How long did it take for her to forgive you?
Oh, no, she forgives me straight away.
Right.
Because she knows it was her fault.
No, that's not why she forgave you.
Should have braced herself.
She loves you.
She knew I didn't do it on purpose.
Has she had another lesson since then?
I did teach her hip on Ken, which is a knuckle strike.
Why don't you teach her brace?
That's right.
Lesson one, brace.
Hour of bracing.
A friend of mine suffered from premature ejaculation.
Change the topic.
Why was that his key?
When he was like shagging his wife in doggy position, he'd be doing his carters while he's shagging.
From behind.
To distract himself.
Also good if someone tries to attack him mid bonk.
Six bouncers coming in.
Elbow.
My mate, Ozzy, and he was into boxing, fanatical boxing. Yes. And his wife told me, like, they got divorced, but she told me after that when they shagged, he used to shag it in 3-minute rounds. Shag it for 3 minutes, have a minute break.
Did he have a boxing timer in the bedroom?
Did he spit in a bucket in between each round?
But she told me that after.
Irishman. Come in,
press a bit of metal on his face.
It's
bizarre.
But they were great old days, and I look back fondly on those days.
Let's get a lesson going. Trev Kwando.
Trev Kwando. So earlier in the season, you surprised us with you'd written a eulogy of me, which was a lovely thing to hear.
Yeah,
and we thought, just for the nature of balance, you should maybe write one about Chris.
Yep.
And I believe you've written it.
Yes, mate.
This is it, mate. You're deceased. Oh, well, actually, you're not. You die towards the end of a poem. You're alive for a bit of it.
Oh, that's nice.
But you're in a bad way. In a very bad way.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Let's hear it.
Okay. This is the eulogy. I'm not very good at reading, but I'll fucking try it. I can't believe we're back in the crematorium. It was just 3 weeks ago that we lost Carl Donnelly and now Chris Martin. What was not revealed at the time was that Carl fell from the plane, he landed on top of Chris. He was in the fields looking for truffles. He was rushed to intensive care and spent 2 weeks drifting in and out of consciousness. In moments of lucidity, he would call out my name, crying out that he loved me and that his career, like Carl's, had also been saved by babysitting Trevor and is of immense gratitude. I'm very modest and have kept this to myself until now. He also mentioned his wife, Hannah, but mentioned me far more. I will take care of her, as was Chris's dying wish.
Okay.
I wish she was here now, but she had an appointment with her financial planner. Chris was insured for a lot of money.
Ooh.
Chris, like Carl, was a selfless comedian who would often die on stage to make the other comedians look better. Though unlike Carl, he did not do it on purpose. The audience simply did not get his subtle, nuanced brand of comedy. To everyone's total shock, Chris had a great Edinburgh Festival this year. This created tension with Carl, whose bus gig was not going well. After a one-star review, Carl called me up in tears one night. I assured him that he would eventually get a room, a proper room, with walls and a roof, and maybe even a door, and that gigs on public transport were a thing of the past. I also told him that Chris's subtle, intelligent brand of comedy was a gimmick, and that one day Carl's stories would one day be part of comedy folklore. He thanked me and told me that he loved me, and that his career also had been saved by babysitting Trevor. And here we are now, both of them dead. And I were left to find two new babysitters. I will never forget Chris's final text to me just before Carl landed on him. I think I see a truffle. Words that still haunt me. Finally, as I fire up the furnace, I look around the chapel and see that it is quite empty, much like many of Chris's gigs. An irony not lost on the comedians here, I am sure.
Oh, yeah. Trevs. That's okay. It.
What a lovely eulogy.
Why am I searching truffles? For truffles, mate?
I've got no idea. I find truffles funny, like the name truffle.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny.
Do you like the taste of a truffle?
Eh?
Do you like truffles?
Oh, they're great. They're amazing. Fucking really
truffle
good.
Oil, fan of that?
She made, Julie made some truffle oil and puts it on, it's fucking heaven on earth.
On pizza, it's amazing.
Yeah, very rich. Pizza,
yeah, very rich, yeah. You can't overdo it.
You can't have too much. Yeah. Maybe that's what happened to me.
You've got to have some restraint.
They're fucking dear, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
Had this, went to, they had this, if you ever go to Amsterdam, go to this, it's a restaurant, not Italian, what's the place down? Sicily, isn't it? It's a Sicilian fucking restaurant. Yeah. They do the best pasta. They shred truffle over it like that.
Yeah.
And they have come around with a big fucking block of Parmesan and they got like a hot knife and they sliced it around and put that on top of your mushroom pasta.
Wow.
It's fucking heaven on earth. Oh, you can't have it because you've got...
No, I was just, when you said Amsterdam, I was surprised that it was going to be a restaurant recommendation for you, Trev.
Well, you've got a nice little song to play us out on this week.
Another
haven't
one
you?
Of your sort of hidden talents.
Yep. You've got to rely on yourself.
So that was it, guys.
That was it. That end was of fun. Season two was fun.
I'm glad we got together.
And even we got to re-record.
And I got
ended
to
end up just being fun, chatting again, loads of new stuff.
Just those noises are just
excellent.
My favorite thing to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people will be listening to that on a train and be like laughing, and some go, "What are you laughing at?" I'm laughing at.
If you're here, maybe if you're listening somewhere quiet, have a go at your own one.
Have a go at your own. Yeah, noise,
yeah. To see if you've got your own. Is it Keyite?
Hada,
hada,
hada.
Yeah.
I like the noises. That was one of my highlights.
I think it was also the noises.
Guys, you know how to find us, review us on iTunes and all that, and babysitting Trev. We've already recorded season three.
Yeah, it's coming out.
It's going to come out
soon.
Very soon. Now to play us out, we have Trevor Crook with a song that he wrote many years ago.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks, guys.
You got to rely on yourself. There ain't nobody else. You got to rely on yourself, there ain't nobody else. You thought you had friends, you were wrong. Should have known it all along. You got to rely on yourself, there ain't nobody else. Sometimes I think solitude's okay. Other times they nearly drive me insane. Yeah. I guess friends are like cocaine. You have them once, you need them again. You gotta rely on yourself, there ain't nobody else. They come around only as a last resort. They come around only as a last resort. But they don't care, they don't give a damn.
If you're down, it's bad luck, man. You gotta rely on yourself. There ain't nobody else. The ones you like the most are the ones that let you down. When you really need them, they're never around. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Their philosophy revolves around themselves. They don't care. You gotta rely on yourself. There ain't nobody else. We'll do one more bridge. Sometimes I think solitude's okay. Other times it nearly drives me insane. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess friends are like cocaine. You have them once, you need them again. You gotta rely on yourself. There ain't nobody else. You gotta rely on yourself. There ain't nobody else. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. That's awesome. That's a
thank you very much.
As Al Pacino would say, you got a great voice.
Babysitting Trevor is a .. production hosted by Carl Donnelly, Chris Martin, and Trevor Crook, and is produced by Joel Porter.